24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie Ella-Eve Campbell. Now, Vibe is an acronym for Vision, Intention, Belief, and Expectation. What vibe are you projecting right now? Because if you feel bad, switch it up and ask yourself, what do I want? That'll get you right back into alignment. Because after all, you want to attract good circumstances into your life. So today I want to speak into the area of expectation, and wherever you are right now in terms of dating, love, an actual relationship, expectation is always there. So I'd like to speak in that area today. So while you might be driving at work or at home, I want to remind you that we have expectations when it comes to relationships, and that sometimes, often prematurely, we walk into a relationship only to find out that it's not quite what we expected. We often walk in with a preconceived notion of what we expect the relationship to be like, only to realize that the person we thought we knew, or even perhaps put on a pedestal, we actually didn't know at all. Now, in many parts of the world, there are arranged relationships. There are marriages. And Asia springs to mind. So, for example, India, a young man does not know his wife until he marries her, and vice versa. And very often this is the same for Western culture. Now, we may not look at it that way, but it's true. Let's not make any bones about it. It's everywhere, not only in Asia, that a young man doesn't know his wife until he marries her. Actually, I would even go to the extent and say that some arranged marriages, relationships, are better prepared in terms of looking at the history of the family, the background, the suitability, the name, the wisdom of the elders. So I'm not actually knocking it. However, many relationships and marriages are just like that. You go into marriage, you go into a relationship, you go into an exclusive relationship only to find out 6 months later, 8 months later, 15 years later, that you're living in what some might describe as a nightmare. I know of one person who was actually married for 20 years. And at the time, the church dictated that if you indicated that you liked a woman, that it meant marriage. Marriage time. And so the marriage became, in a sense, a life sentence, as it were, because it was what was expected of them at the time. They didn't really know each other. So thank God, in a sense, for different times. You know, you've heard men refer to it as the old ball and chain, as if it is a prison sentence. I once heard it referred to, and I think this is actually really funny, because it does actually have a ring of truth about it, that it has a lot of rings. Rings of engagement, a wedding ring, suffering, and enduring. Now, one of the biggest problems people have is they actually go into relationships with very high expectations that unfortunately aren't met. Why? Because they have not prepared themselves realistically for what it entails. And so therefore, they could have spared themselves a whole lot of frustration. We have to approach relationships, whether it leads to cohabitation, a lesser form of commitment in my eyes than marriage, because unlike a marriage, it's much easier to walk away with cohabitation. But we've got to walk into a relationship with a sound understanding of each other's expectations, and also understanding what a relationship is from a practical and a spiritual perspective. To really understand what love is, that love is a decision and not what culture has defined it as. It seems almost as if everything that God says that love is, the world has got backwards. So think about it. Society says that we fall in love. God says that we should walk in love. Love is not a feeling, a oozy feeling. Love is active. God says to love the person that you marry, and the world says marry the person that you love. There is a difference. You should enter a relationship happy and whole, in touch with yourself, connected to yourself, able to bring out that which you don't want anybody else to know about, that you're aware of it, the ability to be vulnerable and to forgive yourself of anything that needs forgiving. So you should enter a relationship whole and happy. But society tells us that you should meet another person to complete you. You know, we hear expressions such as, I've met my other half, or you complete me. That they will make you happy. That person will make me happy, as opposed to happier. Society tells you that you will find love in the other person. But what about you finding love in yourself first, so that you can then offer love to another person? Society says, find your Mr. Right and you'll be happy. Not that you should be Miss Right and that you will then attract Mr. Right. Society leads with satisfaction of the body. If he or she makes great love, they will be a great partner. Sex is not love. Although often, instead of lust, it's mistaken for love, but it's lust. And often out of lust, a man will declare that he loves you, one of the most overused lies in the arena of love. Most often in the case to bed you, and then he'll leave you. Look, God wants us to redefine our understanding of what love is. Making love doesn't make it love. Love is not sex, it's the value that you place on somebody. Making love doesn't make it love. Love is not what happens in a hotel room or a motel room, or the feeling you get by the two of you fine dining. Love is not romance. It's the value that you place on another. And in my previous show, I spoke about the difference between lust, infatuation, and love. Maybe you could revisit that recording and see the differences. Real love focuses on the person, not the body, or the meeting of the, let me call it, the two delicacies. Lust focuses on the pleasure the person gives you. That's why people who say that they fell in love quickly fall out of love. Why? Because the moment the person stops giving you the pleasure, you say you fell out of love, when in reality, you never loved the person. You were addicted to how the person made you feel. Recently, I heard of fish love. And sometimes we need these reminders. Even though I'm in the field of dating and dating energy and attraction, I'm constantly keeping myself updated because I want my mind to be fresh with knowledge. And so I recently looked at Abraham Twersky, a rabbi, and he speaks about fish love, and he describes love so aptly that I think I'll share it with you. And it goes like this. A rabbi questions a young man he comes upon who's clearly enjoying the fish that he's prepared. And he says, "Young man, why are you eating that fish?" The man responds, "Because I love fish." The rabbi responds, "You love the fish? That's why you took it out of the water and you killed it and you boiled it?" He said, "Don't tell me that you love the fish. Tell me you love yourself. And because the fish tastes good to you, that's why you took it out of the water, killed it, boiled it, and ate it." It's such a great analogy, because Rabbi then goes on to say that so much of what we call love is fish love. Think about it. A couple falls in love. But what does that actually mean? It means the young man saw in the woman someone who he felt he could provide, who he felt could provide him with all his physical and emotional needs. In other words, meet his expectations. And she saw in this man somebody she felt could provide the same. But the problem is, each one is looking out for their own needs. And it doesn't prove well for the other person, as the other person then becomes a vehicle for their gratification and their happiness. Does that sound familiar? I know that my personal experience has made me recognize it much more quickly when I come across it. Too much of what is called love is actually fish love. Real love is not based on what you're going to get, but what you're going to give. An ethicist, Rabbi Dessler, states, and besides, you can find this video online, states that people make the serious mistake in thinking, and I want you to catch this, they make the serious mistake in thinking that you give to those whom you love, when really, you love those to whom you give. Let me repeat that, just in case you missed it. People make the serious mistake in thinking that you give to those whom you love, when really, you love those to whom you give. When I heard that, I thought, that is so deep and so true. And the point of this is, if I give something to you, I've invested myself in you. And now that part of me has become a part of you. There's a part of me in you that I love. So true love is a love of giving, not a love of receiving. And understanding fish love really allows you to discern one's understanding of what love is. And so hopefully through that story, you'll recognize fish love when you do, when you do it, and when it's actually presented to you. Because if you're not mindful of it, you can be deceived. Now, I want you to know one thing about love. Unhealed people, wounded people that lock their heart in a cage, broken people, they don't have the love to give. They don't have the emotional capacity to give. And the sad thing is that sometimes they think that they're giving, but they're not. They're not giving of themselves. The only person who has real love to give are people who are whole. Don't be drawn in by someone who is in need, who you feel needs healing. I personally I've been the subject to that in the past and given so much energy to making that person whole, thinking that I can heal that person. But let me tell you, it will never work. You will allow yourself, and that's me taking responsibility, to be sucked like a vampire, only for it to never be enough. And this person that I actually came across at the time, I realized years later, or in fact, I actually realized, you know, a few months into the relationship, that this person was a narcissistic. And it's not your job to fix them. It's God's. People that are unhealed need the healing of the greatest physician. Leave them in the hands of the Holy Spirit and just wish them well. They need a doctor, not a date. Or in fact, a relationship, if it even gets that far. So for anyone that knows my story, I needed love, and I found that in my relationship, quite frankly, with Jesus. In the deepening and the intimacy of my relationship with Jesus, I was able to then find myself. And to know Jesus requires intimacy. And that intimacy, you will then reflect it in the love relationships that you have. You will reflect that intimacy in when you're in a relationship and you share love. Share being the operative word. With someone who is committed to you, never leaves you for trivial stuff, and never abandons you. I once heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say, if a man walks out of your life, let him walk. That he's not tied to your destiny. And oftentimes it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like the right move. But don't be afraid to let it go. You have to trust, as hard as it may seem. I also once heard it say that if you suffer pain after a breakup, it's because you're looking at it in the wrong way. And a lot of the time, the reason why you actually experience that pain is because it's almost like you're grieving, and you're grieving for the future, or the potential future that you had or you thought you had with this person. So if you're suffering pain, you have to let go of that potential future, the one that you felt or envisioned with that person. And just ask yourself, what is it that I am here to learn? What is it that you need to learn about yourself? And when you realize your mistake or what you could have done differently, then you can move on more healthily. Love is often found when you're not even looking for it. You're so busy filling up your cup with life, feeling so fulfilled and happy, you're on your grind, you're in your career, you're pursuing your passion, you're finding your voice, you're making a difference, you're making an impact. You're so busy filling yourself up that you become so vibrant, so full of love, so full of joy that your cup literally spilleth over. And when it spills over into the path of someone who is on the same frequency as you. You see, happiness in turn attracts happiness. It attracts happiness in another. Wholeness attracts wholeness. And before you know it, boom, you've been found. One extra thing that I'd love to add is Use your learning as a catapult for your preparation. Know who you are and what you stand for. Know your boundaries. You know, I'm always talking about boundaries. Because you have to recognize when someone's trying to railroad that. You have to ring fence your knowledge. Knowledge. The knowing that you are a child of God. And don't fall into the trap of giving someone your power. Own it. Don't look to someone to make you whole. Because when you do that, you're giving them too much power and influence over you. And this power may make you feel whole temporarily. However, that person is just camouflaging your holes. So it's important that you get to the point where you quickly realize that they're not able to make you whole. Only God can do that. You have to be able to stand in your strength by yourself and lean into the understanding of how God sees you. That you're wonderfully made, that you're very good, that you're unique, that there's no one else like you. And not allow your personality to flow like the wind or to go off track with the merest of expressions from another person that derails you and makes you feel that you're less than perfect. Because there are some relationships where a person has given the other person so much power that they're able to make them feel so miserable. They're like puppets on a string. That person that you thought at one point was so perfect. Now, I know of a friend of mine who only recently has released herself, finally, I hope, from the reins of control by a manipulative partner. And she gave up her power to his control. He was so controlling, so manipulative, held her back in life. And the reason for that, from my perspective, is that he saw the genius in her, which made him feel small by comparison. And so to make himself feel good, he would tear her down physically. I'm talking about violently, verbally. And sometimes it's the verbals that actually hurt more than the physical, so that she could become a match to how he truly felt about himself. You know, that may be her story, but it's also the story of many others, many other women and men alike, who put their expectations on others and not themselves. So take time to define you. Wonderful and beautiful you. Prepare yourself. And you will have someone who has been prepared for you to step into your life at the right time. As always, I pray that this has added value. Reach out and let me know if and how this has affected you, or even tell me what else you'd like to hear me speak on. It's a new year. It's the year 2020. It's the year.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.